To the Defenders of the Faith, President Harold B. Lee, Harold B. Lee, Conference Report, April 1970, pages 54-57. I have only one or two matters about which I would like to speak tonight. The first may I introduce by relating a dream or a parable taken from one of the prophets of the Old Testament, in which was depicted a watchman on a high tower overlooking the countryside, watching for enemies that might be coming to destroy, enemies that were in evidence by clouds of dust of approaching camels or horses, or whatever they had. The watchman was reporting hour by hour down to his lord in the courtyard, all is well, or he reported if he saw any dangers. But in the dream or the parable the lord asked, but watchman, what of the night, watchman, what of the night, suggesting that more to be feared than the enemies that come in the daytime that you can see are the enemies that come in the night, enemies that come in the night. Now it is about the enemies that come in the night I want just to make one reference. The term elder, which is applied to all holders of the Melchizedek priesthood, means a defender of the faith. That is our prime responsibility and calling. Every holder of the Melchizedek priesthood is to be a defender of the faith. There are insidious forces among us that are constantly trying to knock at our doors and trying to lay traps for our young men and women, particularly those who are unwary and unsophisticated in the ways of the world. I speak of the battle against liquor by the drink, gambling, prostitution, pornography, and our efforts to aid Christian people who desire to have one day dedicated to keeping the Sabbath day holy. All we have to do is to remember what the Lord said in order to impress the importance of keeping the Sabbath day holy, and that thou mayest more fully keep thyself unspotted from the world. Thou shalt go to the house of prayer and offer up thy sacraments upon my holy day. Defenders of the faith should be alert, then, to see to it with all their influence that there is an opportunity given to the working man, the boy and the girl, the husband and the wife to have one day in the week when they can be with their families and have one day consecrated as a day of rest. Watchmen, be alert to the dangers of the night, a warning voice. The next matter I would like to speak of, for just a moment, is set forth in a letter from the First Presidency, which was sent out in August 1913 as a warning to the members of the church and which was repeated by some of the leaders nearer our time and could well be repeated today. I read this letter from the First Presidency in 1913. It has been entitled A Warning Voice, to the officers and members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. From the days of Hiram Page, at different periods there have been manifestations from delusive spirits to members of the Church. Sometimes these have come to men and women who because of transgression become easy prey to the arch-deceiver. At other times people who pride themselves on their strict observance of the rules and ordinances and ceremonies of the Church are led astray by false spirits, who exercise an influence so imitative of that which proceeds from a divine source that even these persons, who think they are the very elect, find it difficult to discern the essential difference. Satan himself has transformed himself to be apparently an angel of light, when visions, dreams, tongues, prophecy, impressions or any extraordinary gift or inspiration conveys something out of harmony with the accepted revelations of the Church or contrary to the decisions of its constituted authorities. Latter-day Saints may know that it is not of God, no matter how plausible it may appear. Also, they should understand that directions for the guidance of the Church will come, by revelation, through the head. All faithful members are entitled to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for themselves, their families, and for those over whom they are appointed and ordained to preside. But anything at discord with that which comes from God through the head of the Church is not to be received as authoritative or reliable. In secular as well as spiritual affairs, saints may receive divine guidance and revelation affecting themselves, but this does not convey authority to direct others, and is not to be accepted when contrary to church covenants, doctrine or discipline, or to known facts, demonstrated truths, or good common sense. No person has the right to induce his fellow members of the church to engage in speculations or take stock in ventures of any kind on the specious claim of divine revelation or vision or dream, especially when it is in opposition to the voice of recognized authority, local or general. The Lord's Church is a house of order. It is not governed by individual gifts or manifestations, but by the order and power of the Holy Priesthood as sustained by the voice and vote of the Church in its appointed conferences. The history of the Church records many pretended revelations by impostors or zealots who believed in the manifestations they sought to lead other persons to accept, and in every instance, disappointment, sorrow and disaster have resulted therefrom. Financial loss and sometimes utter ruin have followed. We feel it our duty to warn the Latter-day Saints against fake mining schemes which have no warrant for success beyond the professed spiritual manifestations of their projectors and the influence gained over the excited minds of their victims. We caution the saints against investing money or property in shares of stock which bring no profit to anyone but those who issue and trade in them. Financial schemes to make money for the alleged purpose of redeeming Zion or providing means for the salvation of the dead or other seemingly worthy objects should not deceive anyone acquainted with the order of the church, and will result only in waste of time and labor, which might be devoted now to doing something tangible and worthy and of record on earth and in heaven. Sensational stories. It never ceases to amaze me how gullible some of our church members are in broadcasting sensational stories, or dreams, or visions, or purported patriarchal blessings, or quotations, or supposedly from some person's private diary. For instance, there is one vicious story to the effect that one of our general authorities is allegedly being urged to present himself to lead the church contrary to the Lord's revelation and to make people think there is some division among the authorities of the church. Investigations have indicated that the named writer of these forged letters is fictitious and does not exist, can't be found in the records of the church or anywhere. Addresses given are spurious, and yet the amazing thing is that we find that these spurious writings and some of these purported revelations, which we found upon investigation are absolutely false, are finding their way into our Relief Society meetings, into priesthood quorums, firesides, institutes, and seminaries. Brethren of the priesthood, you defenders of the faith, we would wish that you would plead with our saints to cease promoting the works of the devil, spend your time promoting the works of the Lord, and don't allow these things to be found among those under your charge, for they are the works of Satan, and we are playing his game whenever we permit such things to be heralded about and repeated and passed about on every side. False reports. One of our brethren is supposed to have had a patriarchal blessing saying that he would preside over the church when the Savior came. This is, of course, false. Another one among us has been said to have declared that there are some living today who will see the Savior when he comes. This again is fictitious. Well, the Master said that the time of his coming would be as a thief in the night, that at the time of his coming not even the angels of heaven would know. If we would stop to think of it, nobody with any authority would ever say that such a declaration could be authentic. So we could go on and on. One of our brethren was reported to have said that the people of California should move up to the tops of the Rocky Mountains, that only there would be safety. Contrary to that, we are constantly saying to our people that safety is where the pure in heart are, and that there is just as much safety wherever you are, if you are living and keeping the commandments of God. Brethren, I repeat, don't allow the works of the devil to be paraded in our midst and become the subject of discourses or lesson materials. Speak of the works of righteousness, and the power of the devil will begin to cease among you. Persecution follows revelation. One more subject of which I should like to speak. This comes from President Joseph F. Smith. It is entitled Persecution Follows Revelation. I do not believe there ever was a people who were guided by revelation, or acknowledged of the Lord as his people, who were not hated and persecuted by the wicked and the corrupt, and perhaps no people were ever more persecuted by the wicked and the corrupt, and perhaps no people were ever more persecuted than this people would be if it were in the power of the enemy today to persecute us as it was in the power of Nero and the Romans to persecute the saints in their day. There never was a time when it was more fixed and determined in the heart of the wicked to fight against and destroy the kingdom from the earth than now, and their failure will be due only to the impossibility of the task they have undertaken, and this is an evidence to everyone, that priesthood is here, that the saints, or many of them, are magnifying their calling and honoring the priesthood, and also the Lord, both with their lives and with their substance, which are his. The principle of revelation at issue. You brethren of the priesthood should be well advised that the principle of revelation through proper channels has been at issue in every persecution of the Latter-day Saints in this dispensation, whether it be on the subject of priesthood, marriage, the gathering of Zion, or succession of the priesthood. Maybe this persecution, too, is as a thorn in our flesh, as was said by the Apostle Paul, to be as the messenger of Satan, lest we be exalted above measure. 2 Cor 12:7. Because of the revelations the Lord has given through his prophets to this people, the prophet Joseph Smith was persecuted and hated, his life was threatened, so much so that he said, "Why persecute me for telling the truth? For I had seen a vision, I knew it, and I knew that God knew it, and I could not deny it, neither dared I do it. At least I knew that by so doing I would offend God, and come under condemnation." A few years ago a man came here in our midst and said to one of our brethren, "If you people would do away with one principle in your belief, I could join the church tomorrow." And our brother asked, "What is that principle?" He replied, "If you would do away with your belief in present-day revelation, I could join your church." Then an amazing statement was made to me by our brother, the man who was the church member, "You know, I think we ought to do something about that. Present-day revelation. Why, bless your hearts, whenever we come to a time where we begin to deny that there is revelation to this church, it is tantamount to saying that we believe that the power of God does not exist in our midst today. We must believe and know for a certainty and have a sure testimony that God does reveal, and is now revealing, all things pertaining to His kingdom today, as in every other dispensation of the church. I wish that we would understand these matters, and you brethren who are to safeguard the church, I would wish that you would rise up in the power and dignity of your callings and put to flight some of these spurious things that are threatening to destroy the unity among our people. The greatest danger among us today is fear. Fear doesn't come of the Lord. Faith and peace are the fruits of the Spirit. May we teach our people where to look to for peace, not peace that can be legislated in the halls of Congress or be maintained by armies and navies and tanks and guns and airplanes, but peace that can come as the Master said it would come, by overcoming the things of the world. God help us so to understand and do and to live as Latter-day Saints are expected to live in this day of trial and difficulty. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.